The original podcast was recorded in German. This podcast was translated using artificial intelligence. Burnrate, the Venture Insider podcast with Max Meister and Guy Jafrady.
Hello and welcome to Burnrate, the Venture Insider podcast. I am sitting here with Guy Jafrady talking about the startup scene with a focus on venture capital. We arrived at episode 100 and we are recording on Wednesday, the 17th of June at 9 p.m. in the evening. This podcast is sponsored by our partners Omnium, Upscale.ch, Wenger Vili, and Ara Ventures. Guy, what are today's topics?
Episode 100. Before we discuss the most important news of the week, as usual today, dive into the Deep Tech Report 2026 published today with Andreas Punter and look at the deals of the week. We are using episode 100 as an occasion to briefly look behind the scenes of Burnrate. How did the podcast come about? What has changed since the start? How do our episodes actually come together? And why are we still doing this every week after 100 episodes?
Exactly. Episode 100 is a good moment to look back. When we started with the first episode after the summer holidays in 2023, Burnrate was still quite different from today. But the idea behind Burnrate was already the same. First, we wanted to create more transparency in the venture ecosystem by addressing valuations and contextualizing financing rounds and exits, something that is otherwise very rarely done outside of the regulars table or the grapevine, as one also says. Sharing our know-how from over 25 years combined in venture capital with the ecosystem, that was very, very important to us. And last but not least, and this is then, of course, a more self-serving goal, we stay on top of our knowledge and are always informed about current topics and trends. I personally find that, of course, great because it forces us every week to gather the news, hold an editorial meeting, and there we discuss many exciting topics and can then decide which topics we include, and we then go deeper into those. At the start, Burnrate was still very international. Our listeners told us very quickly that financing rounds in Switzerland, investors here in the country, cap tables in Switzerland are actually more interesting to them. So in short, season one was certainly an experimentation phase with founder interviews. We had made recordings in a different studio back then and then edited very laboriously ourselves. Maximilian, our co-host, cut that himself, and that was, of course, incredibly time-consuming, and we had very much positive feedback, but of course, on the other hand, also very, very long production times. From season two, we then professionalized the format with Riverside, a provider. We published weekly. We had first sponsor inquiries. We then brought in someone for professional editing who does that for us. We started with AI translation into English and with our newsletter. In season three, the current format then came into play. The transaction of the month episode, new partners, more guests, the Upscaler miniseries, and the first live podcast.
Quite a journey, I would say. I can still remember well the first podcast we recorded there in the studio with Henning and Alex. That was still exciting. I am on stage a lot, but there I effectively had something like stage fright. And I still remember I stumbled over my words so much simply because it was somehow then broadcast live. That was also quite special at the time. Now, episode 100 looks completely different. I think we have developed ourselves very well there. In the 100 episodes, we have by now illuminated over 250 financing rounds of Swiss companies and reconstructed more than 100 cap tables. The financing volume covered, we looked that up briefly, comes to over 3 billion francs in Swiss ventures. And yes, we are actually asked again and again how we arrive at certain figures because they are apparently very accurate. The answer here is very important. We are not violating any NDAs. We only use publicly accessible information for the cap table reconstructions. We research very thoroughly, of course, compare certain sources, calculate backwards, check register data, press releases, and also investor disclosures. And then we reconstruct the cap table. That is sometimes detective work, but we are often almost exactly spot on. One can say that.
With exits, it is similar. We have illuminated around 50 Swiss exits with a combined deal volume of more than 6 to 7 billion Swiss francs. Those are quite handsome returns to the investors. Unfortunately, the major investors were mostly from abroad. One has to mention that as well, of course. Among the transactions are, for example, exits like Nexthink, Araris, Biotech, Limatech, and others as well. We have also done some deep dives, for example, with Yokoi, where we spoke with various investors in preparation for the episode. We find the contextualization of exits, whether good or bad, very important, since with an exit, one cannot automatically assume that everyone won. On this topic, we just had an interesting listener question in the last episode. This contextualization is important because headlines alone often do not tell the whole story.
Perhaps we should also briefly explain how a burn rate episode actually comes together. From the outside, that might look as if Max and I sit down briefly, press record, and then just talk for about an hour about startups and the current news. We effectively have a sheet for every podcast that we compile during the week. We bring in the most important news we find, financing rounds, exits, and then we check the sources already and then decide together what we include and who focuses on which topics. And when we have guests on a specific topic, like today on the Deep Tech Report, that often happens relatively spontaneously, since we try to always keep the topics current. And the response there is really enormous. And the people who come to Burn Rate, when you ask them 3 days in advance, and I find that already exciting. Max, when you look back a little on this journey, what has pleased you most about Burn Rate?
Definitely the intellectual joy. As a news junkie, I, of course, enjoy discussing the most exciting topics in the market with you every week. Burn Rate forces us to stay on top of things. We have to know which financing rounds have taken place, which exits are relevant, which topics are being discussed, and what is really behind them. And of course, I am pleased that Burn Rate has by now become a well-known medium in Switzerland. Well, we should not stack things too high, but there are many loyal listeners such that you almost feel we must not disappoint them.
It is similar for me. What pleases me particularly is the interest from the ecosystem, and yes, by now also from further afield. So not only the listeners who come from the venture scene. What I also find great, we receive so many listener questions and feedback, inputs, and sometimes also tips about transactions. That, of course, always helps us too. I would not have expected that from the start if someone had told me that 3 years ago. And when we, because I already mentioned it, when we approach people for a main topic, I find it extremely cool that the reaction is so overwhelmingly positive. And yes, come absolutely, I do not care. I will push some sports event on the evening and come to your Burn Rate studio. That shows already that Burn Rate has become a relevant channel, at least in our ecosystem.
What was then the biggest surprise for you?
I would say how many loyal listeners we already have now. I mean, sometimes over 1,000 listeners per episode. That is enormous in my eyes. And what also surprised me is that at events, one is suddenly recognized and approached about the podcast, of course, especially at industry events. I am still quite glad that we are not exactly real celebrities who get approached and recognized on the street and suddenly have fans. I would actually not find that so cool in turn. Max, what other exciting facts have we looked up?
Interesting, for example, is how internationally Burn Rate is already being listened to. Around 70% listen to us from Switzerland, followed by the USA and Germany. In total, Burn Rate would already be listened to in 103 countries on all continents. The question remains, why do we actually still do Burn Rate one evening per week that we could spend on sports events or with the family?
I would say, firstly, it is simply still a lot of fun to discuss the latest topics of the venture scene together with you. Then, because we, or at least I, always learn a great deal through the exchange, through the preparation. And yes, thirdly, also because we notice that in the Swiss startup ecosystem and venture ecosystem, there is a genuine need for contextualization and know-how. And that exactly, that is what our listeners appreciate. There are, yes, many press releases on LinkedIn, deal announcements, but often the context is missing. Is it a large round for the stage? Who is behind it? What does the valuation mean? And what is actually happening in the market? And exactly there, I do believe that we make an important contribution with Burn Rate.
And in conclusion, Burn Rate Season 4 starts after the summer holidays. We are already fully in planning. In terms of format, we will presumably not make any major changes. Because the current structure works well, we will continue to invite first-class guests who create real added value, deliver contextualization, and perhaps also work more strongly with live formats. Again, that is very possible, and there will certainly be some surprises too. We are planning, for example, a live event in Bern, and who knows, maybe someday there will also be Burn Rate merch. Maybe you would then also buy a cap or a hoodie with this new logo. Let us know.
In that spirit, thank you to all of you listeners. Please share Burn Rate and our announcements again. Recommend it further. Yes, also send us criticism or positive feedback. Questions you can, as always, send to podcast@burnrate.ch or, of course, approach us about it at events. Without you, we would certainly not have been recording Burn Rate every week for 100 episodes and continuing to do so. And also a thanks to Lawrence for the cutting. It is always on time and we very much appreciate the collaboration.
Very good. Let us continue in the program. We start with the news, and one person who has accompanied us since the very beginning is SBF, or Sam Bankman-Fried, the FTX founder. Very exciting to follow his development, his investments that he made. And what is exciting, and I just have to briefly say this once again, this week SpaceX announced the acquisition of Cursor, the company Cursor, and in fact SBF, meaning Sam, in the year 2022 with Alameda invested $200,000 in the pre-seed. So he received approximately a 5% stake at a valuation of $4 million. And now, funny enough, I mean, he would actually now have had a 15,000-fold return. But unfortunately, the bankruptcy administrator of FTX returned the stake back then at nominal value. So not at nominal value, I must be precise, at the same, at the participation value. So 200,000 simply, he got that back then. And that is already crazy when you think about it. So SBF is really, I think, the most successful investor of the last 20 years in the USA, and he is sitting in jail. That is simply unbelievable, this story, especially that this story is no longer being picked up in the media. That is already crazy, right? I mean, when you look at his holdings, what he all bought, that is unbelievable. He just had such a good nose and then everything fell apart. Of course, I do not want to say anything here about his actions. That is not my place. I mean, he was probably rightfully convicted, but his investment activity is really incredibly good. And one can see that now, of course, when these companies are sold after a few years or go public.
He does have a lot of time now, and that would be a great role in jail to be something of a venture partner for a few funds and scan the best deals.
Indeed, already crazy. I did not say that. So his stake would be worth $3 billion today. $3 billion, yes. Anyway, let us go to Switzerland. Namely, the Venture Awards 2026 were presented this week at the Swiss Tech Convention Center at the EPFL in Lausanne. And the evening, of course, clearly stood under the sign of AI. The big winner was Eduatech, an EPFL startup from the field of photonics. The team won the grand prize of 150,000 francs. Eduatech develops integrated optical amplifiers on photonic chips. That sounds very technical at first, but the use case is very relevant. As AI continues to grow, data centers need ever faster and more energy efficient data connections. That is exactly where Eduatech comes in. Then there is also a Spotlight Award that went to Neumann, a startup that builds on Apertus, the open Swiss AI model. Neumann works on AI systems that can continue learning during use, meaning they are not only trained once and remain static afterwards. Overall, it is noticeable that four of the six category winners rely heavily on AI, and among the winners were furthermore RecCheck in the compliance space, Trulux for product authentication, Botana AI for agriculture, Baxiva in the vaccine space, Actival in medtech, and Cinder with therapeutic wearables, which won the audience award. Guy, my question to you, is that for you now a sign that Swiss startups in the AI space are moving more strongly towards infrastructure and deep tech, meaning away from pure AI chips towards photonics, learning architectures, or regulatory systems?
One can say that. I mean, everyone has AI on them today. That is already a good point. Exactly that is what I actually also find interesting about these awards. We are not only seeing startups here that simply put an AI layer on top of existing products. With EdwardTech, it is about physical infrastructure behind AI, meaning data transmission, energy efficiency, and scaling of data centers. Those are completely different layers from the classic software and SaaS applications. We know the photonics, photonic integrated chips field very well, and of course, certainly a very exciting area where such an award is also well placed. Then Newmon, that is also exciting because they address the learning principle itself. If a model can continue learning during use, that concerns not only the software, but also questions around hardware, memory, energy consumption, and also deployment. For Switzerland, that actually fits very well. The strength here traditionally does not necessarily lie in building the fastest consumer app. Rather, we are effectively a deep tech nation for research transfer, precision technology, and above all, B2B applications. The winners actually demonstrate that quite well, and they also show that AI in Switzerland will probably scale more through infrastructure, industry, healthcare, compliance, and also specialized platforms, so not simply a chatbot or a generative tool.
Good. Let us get to the second piece of news. Let us go to the USA, namely to OpenAI. We have not had them in the program for quite a while. We looked at the current figures, which were leaked and published in the Financial Times, and on the information, which are always very well informed. And one could see, according to current figures, the company burned around $3.7 billion in the first quarter of 2026. Cash burn, one has to just imagine that, with a revenue of $5.7 billion. That means more than half of the revenues were directly gone again. At the same time, OpenAI is sitting on over $70 billion cash after the most recent financing round, but also has gigantic commitments for computing capacity, reportedly up to $665 billion by 2030. Guy, let us put that in context. Is this burn rate at OpenAI a normal growth phenomenon or already more of a warning signal from an investor perspective?
Well, normal about such a burn rate is certainly not very much. I mean, one has to let the figures sink in for a moment. $665 billion in commitments, that is simply really a bit out of this world. One has to say OpenAI is in an extreme investment phase. And it also seems to be the case that whoever really wants to stay at the front with these frontier models has to invest massively in data centers, energy provision, GPUs, research, and also talent. In that sense, the high burn rate is not surprising. Normal, I would not call it either. When this magnitude of 3.7 billion, that is crazy. And when a company burns so much in just 3 months, then it is no longer a classic software growth model. That is infrastructure, industry, and research all at once. And there is already the central question, will this investment at some point turn into a scalable, profitable business that can make up for all the losses that are being written now? Or do the costs remain structurally this high? What do you think, Max?
That is a good question. OpenAI does at least report rising revenues and better gross margins. The margin was reportedly around 40% in the first quarter, up from 33% in the prior year. That is already a sign that the model is gradually becoming more efficient.
That is admittedly a positive part of the story. I mean, better margins are always good, and that shows that OpenAI per dollar of revenue has somewhat lower direct model and operating costs than before. That can be due to more efficient models, better utilization, but of course also to pricing or economies of scale. But 39% gross margin, if we just look at that simply, that is for a software company still relatively low, especially when at the same time research, development, sales, and equity-based compensation are also rising massively and being pushed forward. I mean, the research and development costs alone were, according to the information article in the quarter, at around $8.6 billion. That shows the actual cost base, which lies not only in operating the models, but in the permanent arms race for the next generation and staying in the fight at the front. So let us come to the last piece of news. This is quite an extraordinary Swiss AI story. A Basel-based association called Macroscopic Ventures is apparently among the early investors in Anthropic, meaning the company behind Claude. The NZZ researched this and also cited you, Max. The exciting point, Macroscopic Ventures had already invested in Anthropic in 2021 and 2022. Today, Anthropic faces a potentially gigantic IPO with a valuation close to $1 trillion. Max, you are quoted in the NZZ article with a rough contextualization of the financing rounds. The early Series A investors may have multiplied their stake by a multiple of well over 200. Even a comparatively small entry of just over $1 million could therefore be worth several hundred million dollars today. How extraordinary is such a multiple of over 100 or even over 200 in the venture capital context, actually?
Exactly. Perhaps before I answer, a quick zoom out. Lorenz Honegger from the NZZ has really written a very exciting article here. I also did not know that. It was not clear to me. I looked at who had invested in the first round. They were mostly people who did not invest with high conviction. Rather, they believed primarily in the two founders and said, okay, they are incredibly good. Which is also true. That was the case. One could assess that even back then, but one had no idea that in 2021, at that point in time, the company would then grow so large. So that is already exciting. Just very importantly here, these days, Anthropic is fighting in the USA. The American government is making life difficult for them. The IPO was actually announced, but now the new model had to be stopped quasi, and that, of course, has also unsettled the investors. So it may be that the IPO is postponed. Just a few seconds ago, a notification came over the Bloomberg ticker that Anthropic is currently considering postponing this IPO. So one should not just briefly mention that, so you do not think we are completely ignoring this news. But back to the topic. You asked whether the multiples of 100 to 200, whether those are normal. No, that is very, very extraordinary. In VC, a multiple of 10 is already considered very, very good. So if a fund returns 3 to 5 times at portfolio level, that is already excellent. So mathematically, roughly 4 times, depending on the compound interest effect. 1 is then at around plus or minus 10 to 15%. Of course, it is then the case that some investments fail. So most funds make around 30 investments, 20 to 30 investments, 80% they write off, leaving a few others remaining, and those then have to carry the entire fund, which in principle means that 1 to 2 must be home runs, meaning big cases. Home runs are 100x cases, meaning they really pour it in properly, and such home runs are simply incredibly rare. But a single home run is enough, and then the fund is of course easily paid back. And Anthropic is now exactly such a case, such an extreme case, such a home run. When you invest very early in a company that later becomes one of the most valuable private technology companies in the world, then such figures emerge. One has to be careful there. Those are rough orders of magnitude, because we never know exactly how much macroscopic ventures invested, under what conditions, how much they were diluted, whether they still hold the full position. The question is also whether the later investors have any liquidation preferences, anti-dilution protection. All of that contractual side does not necessarily come through. The cap table is not necessarily visible from that, and we do not know the cap table either. So here, certainly a major disclaimer. Nevertheless, the direction is clear. For the early investors, Anthropic was an absolute home run, probably one of the most spectacular AI investment cases of all time.
When you look at the case, what makes it particularly special for you? Is it the return itself, or that here it was not a classic Silicon Valley VC, but a non-profit association from Basel that invested early?
That is what makes it so special, right? I mean, had it been a large US VC, one would say impressive. But yes, that is somehow somewhat expected. With macroscopic ventures, the story is different because the organization comes from the environment of effective, so-called effective altruism, and is strongly engaged with AI risks. That means the investment was presumably motivated not only financially, but also strategically, or one can also say mission-driven. One wanted to support an AI company that places stronger emphasis on safety and alignment. When a $1 billion return then emerges from that, it of course changes the starting position. Suddenly, a relatively small organization from Basel potentially has enormous financial resources to fund research, nonprofits, or projects in the AI safety space. At the same time, however, a tension also arises. Whoever warns about the risks of AI and simultaneously benefits financially strongly from a leading AI company must very transparently explain how mission, capital interest, and governance fit together. That will certainly be interesting.
I would say this story is more than just a success message for Switzerland. It also shows how closely in the AI world capital, safety thinking, and societal influence are interconnected. Anthropic is not only an IPO candidate, but also a good example of who sits at the table in the next phase of AI development. And certainly, I would say, one of the more sympathetic models, which also give indications that AI is not always only positive, but also carries certain risks with it.
With Omnium, you close your financing round faster and more successfully. Our partner Omnium is an innovative platform for growth financing. Omnium is the one-stop shop for financing rounds because they offer a completely digital, lean, and cost-efficient process, including legal framework, investor KYC, and payment processing. Whoever raises with Omnium has the choice to do a private round and only use the platform for their investment opportunity. Or they choose the private round plus with additional access to 10,000 registered investors. Whoever wants to do a high-profile round with the broadest possible reach chooses the public round, where the offer is made accessible to all investors. With Omnium, you close your financing round faster and more successfully. Do you want to scale your startup quickly and successfully and not just grow? Then the Upscaler program is exactly right for you. It gives you access to our large pool of founders, entrepreneurs, and suitable investors. Over 50 startups have already benefited in more than 500 workshops and scaled their business nationally and internationally. Do you also want to benefit from this personal and individual support? All information can be found at www.upscaler.ch. Wenger & Vieli, your partner law firm for startups. Whether founding, financing round, or exit, startups face complex legal challenges. Wenger & Vieli accompanies founders at every stage of their company with tailored advice on corporate law, financing, tax issues, and IP protection. Wenger & Vieli, your legal counsel for startups. This episode is presented by RA Ventures, the Bernese Business Angel Club. RA Ventures brings ambitious Swiss startups together with experienced investors who offer more than just capital. A strong network, real expertise, and hands-on support for the decisive early steps. If you want to grow as a startup or as an investor are looking for access to the most exciting early-stage deals, then apply for our next event at www.raventures.ch.
Let us come to the main topic, deep tech in Switzerland, and to a report that contextualizes the Swiss ecosystem quite assertively. The second edition of the Swiss Deep Tech Report, the 2026 edition, has just been published. The report was developed by several central actors of the Swiss startup and deep tech ecosystem. Behind the report stand Founderful, Kickfund, Deep Tech Nation Switzerland, Startup Ticker, and Dealroom.co. Founderful and Kickfund bring the investment and ecosystem perspective. Deep Tech Nation Switzerland is one of the initiators, while Startup Ticker and Dealroom provide the data and analysis foundation. In terms of content, the report puts forward a strong thesis. Switzerland is not simply a good research location, but is developing into one of the globally most relevant deep tech ecosystems. Particularly highlighted are the role of ETH and EPFL in the founding of spinouts, the growing importance of AI, robotics, and future of compute, as well as Switzerland's position in the European and global competition for deep tech talent, capital, and industrial value creation. A few figures show why the report argues so self-confidently. According to the report, 63% of total venture capital in Switzerland flows into deep tech, the highest share worldwide. Per capita, Switzerland, with around $1,470 of deep tech funding, is at the top of Europe and among the global top three. At the same time, the report shows that Switzerland is strongly internationally financed. Especially with larger financing rounds, a considerable portion of capital comes from abroad. With the technology fields, too, a clear shift is apparent. AIML now makes up around one quarter of the deep tech companies founded since 2022, according to the report. Robotics is growing strongly. Switzerland has produced significantly more VC-financed robotics startups per capita than many stronger VC nations, and in the field of future of compute, Switzerland benefits from its strength in microelectronics, sensors, and precision industry. The big question is therefore, how does this strong research and startup base become an ecosystem that not only produces technologies but builds global category winners, and how much of this value creation remains in Switzerland long term? For the Deep Tech Dive today, we have Andreas Punter with us. He is head of marketing and communication at Deep Tech Nation Switzerland, meaning that initiative that has set itself the goal of positioning Switzerland as a leading deep tech nation and further developing the framework conditions for startups, scale-ups, and investors. Welcome, Andreas.
It is great to be a guest with you, Guy and Max.
Let us get straight into the questions. The report puts forward a very strong thesis. Switzerland is a deep tech-focused VC economy. 63% of VC capital flows into deep tech. What does that mean concretely? And why is this contextualization in this case also so important?
That is correct, Guy. The report confirms that no other country in the world invests such a large share of its risk capital in deep tech. Switzerland, at 63%, as you said before, is ahead of China at 56%. And also ahead of the USA at 54%. From our perspective, this per capita measurement is, of course, very important, since smaller countries compared to larger countries will always perform worse simply due to sheer scale. That means the per capita measurement shows the focus, it shows the intensity, and what it also demonstrates is that the ecosystem is participating in and also leading the global megatrends around AI, robotics, tech, bio, and so on. That means the companies that are already globally valuable today and the companies of tomorrow, we support them. And from the research location, global market leaders emerge.
That would, of course, be exactly what we all wish for. And the report works with very clear rankings and metrics, for example, on the deep tech share of venture capital, on spin-outs, investor origin, and also individual technology fields. How did you collect and also delineate the data? What counts in the report as deep tech? What sources were used, and where are the methodological limits of these comparisons?
The report is based on validated figures from the global platform dealroom.co, which of course brings in the global perspective. On the other hand, we also work together with startupdicker.ch in order to cover the local perspective. Covered are startups from Switzerland, meaning headquartered in Switzerland or with a significant core operative team in Switzerland. When we talk about deep tech, we probably have a relatively broad coverage, but a strong science focus, IP focus, long development cycles, high capital requirements before market entry, and importantly, of course, especially also partially compared to other views, with us in deep tech, the entire field of life science, biotech, medtech is also integrated. That means one of the central pillars of the Swiss ecosystem is subsumed under that deep tech concept. What of course has limits are the sharp data collection around early stage rounds, where there are of course also partial challenges, for example, overlapping segments. That means an AI-supported drug development tool flows into both biotech and AI. But fundamentally, the report gives a good view of the current ecosystem.
And we are indeed almost world champion, or at least on the podium, in per capita deep tech funding. Is that now primarily an expression of the high quality of the startups, or simply also a sign that we focus on deep tech and that is just particularly capital intensive?
In per capita deep tech funding, Switzerland is at $1,470. That means, as you said, first place in Europe ahead of Sweden and also globally among the top three, meaning alongside the USA and Israel, genuinely strongly positioned globally. From our perspective, that is the result of a very high density of strong spin-outs that are now entering the growth phase and also moving into larger rounds. When one now compares globally, I would say deep tech is everywhere in the world, always capital intensive, whether it is in Boston, whether it is in Tel Aviv, just as in Zurich. That means that we in Switzerland attract such large sums actually proves that the Swiss startup ecosystem is well positioned and compared to global competition also operating efficiently. And the fact that we see global mega funds, Sequoia, General Catalyst, and so on leading our rounds, that is the proof that here there is real value, that there are strong startups with global market potential being built.
And when we now look at EPFL and ETH, they are the second best universities in Europe. They generate extremely many deep tech spin-outs. We read that everywhere. What makes our universities so strong, and where is the bottleneck in the step from spin out to global scale up.
And as you said, ETH and EPFL generate the most venture financed spin outs Europe wide and are thereby even stronger than universities like Oxford, Cambridge, and so on, which perform very well in many rankings. That, of course, comes from the long, long tradition of top research from very well developed infrastructure and then also support programs such as, for example, VentureKick, which support the journeys. What we see is that
over recent times, something has changed, namely that young talents, after completing their degree at the university, do not automatically go somewhere into a large corporation or abroad, but they stay here and invest time and build out their technology. Where the bottleneck is certainly when we look beyond pre-seed and seed. There we are world class, but when it comes to larger growth rounds, in the report that would be from $15 million onwards, that is where the domestic capital is lacking. The dependency on foreign lead investors there is very, very high. What we on the side of Deep Tech Nation are doing, especially towards scale-ups, is Project Switzerland. That means there it is from our side about strongly supporting scale-ups in this phase in our program with the help of role models who have already done it before.
We know Project Switzerland well, of course. Michi Sauter, one of your colleagues, already presented it here on Burn Rate. I do not remember exactly which episode that was, but for all those who are interested, you can search for it on Spotify or wherever you listen to the podcast, and you will definitely find it. And yes, you have now mentioned that we are strongly dependent on international capital in the growth phase. Is that now more of a quality seal for the location? That is great. Or is it also a genuine warning signal for us?
The finding in the report is that for investments above 15 million, 82% of the capital comes from abroad, primarily from the USA. That could be interpreted as a warning signal. From our perspective, it is actually also a quality seal. It means that our technology, our startups are globally fully competitive because the best funds in the world are validating our location, validating our startups. The warning signal, that is the problem, that we are thereby also exporting future value creation. That means if the large gains from the tech giants that we build then accrue more to American and Asian funds or global funds, then that of course means for Switzerland and for institutional investors in Switzerland an absolutely missed return opportunity. And when you read the report more closely, you hear once the statement from our co-author Manja Humanes from Kickfund, which states that we in Switzerland have actually achieved an absolutely great accomplishment. Namely that we have built an ecosystem in the later stage space where we operate without government risk capital, and that is primarily fed from private domestic capital pools. That means that is a challenge that lies ahead of us.
Let us go to robotics. It is one of the most striking findings of the report. Switzerland produces significantly more VC-financed robotics startups per capita than many larger countries. What makes robotics a Swiss sweet spot? Is it research, industry, talent, or is it also the proximity to concrete applications?
I would say that robotics in Switzerland, and this is especially so in Zurich and at EPFL, has developed extremely strongly. That means one also speaks of a worldwide robotics capital and is there also considerably stronger. And again, of course, seen per capita than, for example, in the United Kingdom or also in the USA. And the success, we see that on several levels. On the one hand, of course, the interplay of decades of research, precision research in the watch industry, the long tradition there, but simultaneously also top-level research in the area of AI, physical AI. That means one brings together fields there that are extremely important in robotics. And what, from our perspective, is also an important part of the success is that at ETH, we have researchers like Roland Siegwart, like Marco Rutter, who do not only focus on writing papers, but who really build physical systems that go out to construction sites, into factories, and implement topics hands-on. And of course, also institutions like a robotics club, the Swiss Robotics Day, have shaped and continue to shape the ecosystem.
That is, of course, exciting. The capital of Switzerland for robotics worldwide. If we now zoom out a little further, we have many topics where we are extremely strong: biotech, AI, robotics, as just mentioned, tech bio, future of compute, all of which are currently gaining weight. Does the danger also exist there that resources, capital, and also attention fragment too strongly, or is it generally only positive?
From our perspective, that is not a fragmentation, but rather a healthy and also a necessary expansion of the strong Swiss foundation. Biotech remains by value still the largest pillar, but new segments are being added and new themes such as AI, robotics. And if you specifically look into AI now, since 2022 already, 1 in 4 new company formations comes from that field. That means a diversification is taking place. What is additionally exciting is, of course, the fact that at the boundaries of disciplines, interesting research fields also emerge. A nice example is the topic of tech bio, where on the one hand, the topic of AI meets the traditional strength in life sciences and there interesting opportunities for startups emerge. And what from our perspective also speaks for it is that the technology mix, meaning the broadening of topics, then also attracts new ecosystems, new industries, new tech labs or global tech labs from the world and thereby makes the entire ecosystem also more crisis resistant.
Very good. We received the report a little bit in advance. Many thanks for that. We, of course, read it in detail and looked at it very well prepared as well. And if you now very, very positively and optimistically formulated, if you now had to name one point where Switzerland, despite all its strengths, is not yet where it should be, where is the great Swiss weakness?
The challenge, we already heard that in the interview, it is very clearly the lack of local capital, especially in the later financing phase. What we find, yes, a difficult situation is the fact that today there is excellent education, much investment in the early phase from tax money, on the other hand, also from seed funds, that is very well supported. But then where the startups take off and are on their way to becoming global players, the capital typically comes from abroad. And that means for us, that is a certain risk that we would like to mitigate. And we therefore also work very hard at Deep Tech Nation to do persuasion work so that institutional investors, such as, for example, Swiss pension funds, can also invest in Swiss deep tech. What we do there, for example, is continuing education programs around venture capital for pension funds. We are doing a transparency study together with the University of Basel and also working on a fund together with an investment foundation to facilitate investment in deep tech.
Very exciting. You have already somewhat anticipated the closing question there, but it is something that perhaps cannot be implemented within a year's time, the 3 points you mentioned there. If we now look at the next edition of the report, which metric would need to have improved, which would certainly stay the same so that we can say, hey, Switzerland has really moved forward as a deep tech nation?
One important metric is without question the absolute growth of VC investment. That is a central indicator. Last year, in 2025, we achieved the record level, 2.6 billion invested in deep tech. And the goal is, of course, not only to maintain that, but to further expand it. The share of domestic late-stage capital is also important. And if one wants to look a little further still, then exits are, of course, also important, which bring capital and talent back into the ecosystem.
Absolutely. This flywheel of VC, it has to run so that local investors also invest more in venture capital because they see, hey, the capital does come back and indeed multiplied. And then I can also write larger tickets and perhaps go into the growth phase. Let us see. In any case, it remains exciting. Andreas, many heartfelt thanks to you for your insights on the report. It was extremely entertaining and exciting. And thank you for sharing those so openly with us here on Burn Rate.
Many thanks, Guy and Max. And of course, the report can be downloaded at any time at deeptechnation.ch.
We will gladly link that in the show notes, and then we wish you a very nice evening. So let us come to the transactions of the last week. Again, some transactions have been communicated, and we have put together the most exciting ones briefly for you here.
Let us go to Ticino. GR3N is a clean tech company from Chiasso and has now closed a Series B round of 15.5 million euros. The round was led by 360 Capital with participation from VP Textile. The capital is primarily intended to finance the company's first industrial facility in Spain.
I would say that is a well-written company developing the technology for the recycling of PET and polyester based on so-called microwave-assisted depolymerization, or MADE for short. While mechanical recycling can only process a portion of PET waste, Gren is also supposed to be able to recycle difficult waste streams such as colored bottles, textile fibers, and films. The goal is to produce food-grade monomers again that can be fed back into PET processing without any loss of quality.
The target customers are primarily actors from the packaging, textile, and plastics industry who need access to high-quality circular PET. The technology is particularly relevant for companies that want to increase their recycling rates and be less dependent on virgin fossil PET. With the first facility, the startup therefore addresses not only classic PET bottles, but also polyester and mixed PET waste streams.
And what I find exciting here is the transition from technology development to industrial scaling. The planned facility in Spain is supposed to reach a capacity of 40,000 tons of virgin PET chips per year from recycled monomers. Additionally, the project, meaning alongside the financing round, has already been selected for €35 million from the EU Innovation Fund. That shows that Gren can not only raise venture capital, but can also attract larger European industrial and climate financing.
The fresh capital flows primarily into the construction of the first industrial facility in Spain. As already mentioned, the company wants to thereby bring its patented MADE technology to market at large scale for the first time. If the model works, the company could make an important contribution to returning PET and polyester waste much more broadly and at higher quality into genuine circular loops.
With the second transaction, we go to Geneva and Shenzhen. Zan, or however one pronounces that exactly, is a legal tech company and has now raised $5 million from Tencent Investment. The company builds a contract intelligence platform for law firms and legal teams. The round is particularly exciting because here a large Chinese investor is investing in an internationally oriented legal AI platform.
Zan develops AI software that is supposed to analyze contracts the way an experienced associate would. The platform consists of three modules: review checks contract drafts against proprietary playbooks and proposes red lines, draft creates boilerplate text in the style of the law firm, and recall answers questions across previous mandates and contract portfolios. Important here, every marking is supposed to be traceable with a comprehensible reasoning and source reference back to the contract text.
Customers are, of course, law firms, in-house legal teams, and legal aid organizations. According to the company, more than 340 law firms and legal teams have already reviewed over 2.5 million contracts with Zan. Particularly relevant is the use in M&A accounts, where the platform is supposed to reduce the median first-pass review time by 62%, making significantly more relevant clauses visible for partner review.
Let us come to the last transaction of the week. Skate is a Swiss PropTech startup and has now closed an oversubscribed pre-seed round in the high six-figure range.
Skate develops an AI platform for construction companies that can analyze complex tenders more quickly. The software helps with reviewing tender documents, identifying contractual risks, and creating bid documents. Today, this process is often still manual, time-consuming, and error-prone. And exactly there, Skate wants to improve speed and quality.
The target customers are construction companies that regularly participate in complex tenders. The startup has already developed the first version together with a group of innovative construction companies. Additionally, there is a partnership with the Swiss Contractors Association, through which the startup theoretically gains access to around 2,400 member companies.
What I still find exciting there is the combination of a very concrete industry problem and a strategic industry access. Tenders in construction are enormously complex, legally relevant, and often ultimately decisive for the margin of a project, whether written positively or negatively. And if Skate makes risks visible earlier and automates the bid creation, then that can create direct economic value for construction companies.
The capital is intended to bring Skate from the first customer setup into full market deployment. The focus initially lies on Switzerland, where the team sees great potential. After that, the expansion into the DACH region is supposed to follow, for which first contacts already exist. Strategically, the aim is therefore to scale an AI solution for tenders in a very traditional but data and document intensive market. So that was Burn Rate, episode 100, the VC Insider podcast. If you want to support our podcast, subscribe to our newsletter and share it in your network. Many thanks for listening in. We wish you a lovely weekend. Take care and goodbye.